For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out to Jeff at beekeepingfornewbies.com. That's N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. Well, folks, today, as you may have gathered from the intro sound there, we're going to jump into a little in the news segment. I haven't done one this year. And if you're on the website and you're looking to do a review of those, I created a 2024 archive section. So it's all off in its own dedicated page now. And we're starting the year off fresh, and we'll see what happens with the in the news. All right, I've got a couple articles for you that I think are going to be pretty decent. And we got four of them that are pretty normal, and one of them's a little bit silly, but we'll see if we can have a little bit of fun with it. Now, the first one here, it's coming out of Penn State, and I'm curious. You know, Penn State seems to do a lot. Every time I turn around and I'm doing research and I'm looking for something that I think is of interest, it seems like Penn State has a lot of activity around honeybees and research and everything, so I should probably maybe reach out to them and see if we can have a discussion and learn more about that. But the statement that they make in this piece of research is native bee populations can bounce back after honeybees move out. So essentially what they're saying is you have an area where there's honeybees, people have been keeping bees in there for 2, 5, 20 years, whatever it is. Well, what happens, because a lot of times when honeybees come into a place or into an area, they will displace native pollinators. And a lot of people are like, oh, we got to save the bees, we got to save the bees. And it's like, well, yes, sort of. I mean, we sort of have to save the bees because we have areas that we have created a dependency on these mobile pollinators. But if the bees weren't here, there are a whole lot of native pollinators that would probably thrive and do really, really well. And I think, you know, you have a few years of some pain, but I don't think it would be that bad or that long before things ramped up to a point where they were able to be self-sufficient and sustaining in the absence of the honeybee. But that's a little sidebar. But anyway, this study was talking about what happens after the honeybees leave an area. Do native bee populations recover? How do they recover? I'm going to read just a little tidbit of it. If you're interested in that subject, it's worth going and reading the article. But we'll just do kind of a quick intro, and then you can kind of take it on your own if you want to follow up with that. Managed honeybees have the potential to affect native bee populations when they are introduced into a new area. But a study led by researchers at Penn State suggests that under certain conditions, these native bees can bounce back if the apiaries are moved away. The research published in the Journal of Insect Science examined the effects of migratory beekeeping, the practice of moving honeybee colonies to a different location for part of the year, on native populations. The researchers found that when managed honeybees were moved into an area, the population of native bees decreased in abundance and diversity. However, in places where apiaries were kept for years and then removed, the native bee populations once again increased in both total numbers and species diversity. So again, it goes on to talk about this. It's an interesting subject, and it's worth the read, so check that out on the in the news section on beekeepingfornewbies.com. Okay, now here is one that I thought was really interesting. This is from SciTech Daily, S-C-I, like science, SciTech Daily. Tiny QR codes reveal the secret journeys of honeybees. And I'm laughing now because this is just the funniest thing in the world. They've got a picture on the website here with a honeybee. And right back there in that cleft area, back where the shoulders would be, there's a little barcode, a little QR code. So it says, scientists are using tiny QR codes to track honeybee movements and gather groundbreaking insights into their foraging habits. In rural Pennsylvania, once again, Pennsylvania leading the way in beekeeping and bee research, it looks like. In rural Pennsylvania and New York, hundreds of honeybees are carrying tiny QR codes on their backs, not as a fashion statement, but as a part of a scientific study. Researchers from Penn State, including entomologists and electrical engineers, are using these tags to track when bees leave and return to their hives. Their goal is to better understand how long bees spend foraging for food and ultimately how far they travel to collect pollen and nectar, an ongoing mystery in bee research. Early findings show that while most bees take short trips lasting just a few minutes, a small percentage remain outside the hive for over 2 hours. With their tracking system, the team expects to gather much more data to refine their understanding of bee behavior. So anyway, if you want to dive in, like I said, I've been trying to get out of the habit of just trying to read the whole article to you. I'm going to give you the highlights. If you think it's neat and it's cool, you can go back and read it. I just feel like, you're all grown ups. You can do your own thing. But I'm looking at this picture. There's a picture of the front of a hive and the entrance is completely blocked. And over the entrance is an electronic device of sort. What it looks like is if you've ever been on like the Pennsylvania Turnpike or any major highway nowadays, you pay taxes so that you have highways. And then once you get the highways, you pay a toll to use the highways that you paid taxes for. It looks like those big things that kind of read the Easy Pass or whatever your system is where you have the transponder in your car and you go under it. Or the ones that read your license plates, it kind of looks like a miniature one of those on the hive entrance. So the bees run through, it scans their QR code, and it has the data. It's pretty cool. It's definitely worth the read. Okay, the next one I've got here, number 3 in the list. This is coming from Science Daily. Improved treatment timing reduces honeybee losses to varroa mites. Honeybee mortality can be significantly reduced by ensuring that treatments for the parasitic varroa mite occur within specific time frames, a new study reveals. The mites belonging to the species Varroa destructor feed on the larvae of bees and can destroy colonies if not treated at key points to reduce or remove infestations. But researchers have found that more than a third of the beekeepers surveyed in England and Wales deviate from recommended treatment guidelines, including application windows. Crucially, they found that beekeepers who mistimed Varroa mite treatments experienced exacerbated colony losses, with the effects occurring across a wide range of medications. The main finding here was that a major cause of honeybee mortality could, in theory, be quite easy to reduce, said Dr. Thomas O'Shea Weller, lead author of the study from the University of Exeter, E-X-E-T-E-R. We talk a lot about honeybee colony losses in terms of novel diseases and emerging threats, but this is actually something that's been under our nose the whole time. The researchers use the National Bee Unit's BeeBase, a register of beekeepers across England and Wales, to analyze data from 4,339 beekeepers across 37 countries, encompassing a total of 18,700 colonies from 2016 to 2020. They looked at the range of varroa treatments that beekeepers were using, how they were applying those treatments, and what influence this had on colony survival and honey yield. They found that colony losses were predicted not just by the type of varroa treatment that a beekeeper used, but also by their level of adherence to the recommended treatment regime. Although beekeepers are frequently treating for varroa, a considerable proportion are missing key time points and thus experiencing higher losses than expected, said Dr. O'Shea Weller. Explaining why timing is so important in administering varroa treatments, Dr. O'Shea Weller said, "Mite numbers build up across the season in a kind of exponential curve. You have to target this at key junctures in order to achieve effective control. If you miss these and apply a treatment too early or too late, then it will fail to properly suppress the mite population and growth will continue unchecked. Missing the recommended treatment window is, I think, the largest cause of poor prognostic outcomes and associated colony mortality." So very interesting. It's a topic that is always relevant, and I'm trying to really focus a lot more on it if you guys haven't already figured that out, because so much of our loss in the beekeeping industry is tied to this. You know, if it's not varroa, I mean, there's a variety of other things that obviously can have an impact and are challenges we have to face in the beekeeping world. But varroa really is still the biggest thing. It just leads to so many other problems and challenges. And we've gone down that discussion path many times here. All right, next one on the list is brainy bees create a buzz with math skills. Honeybees have proven themselves even smarter than previously thought, with new research from Monash University finding they order numbers from left to right like humans. The tiny mathematicians have impressed researchers with their numerical and spatial processing skills, adding to a growing appreciation of the bees' intelligence. To test how they preferred to order numbers, researchers showed the bees small cards with varying quantities of shapes in different patterns. Through various combinations and placements, the bees showed evidence of preferring smaller numbers to be placed to their left and larger ones to their right. The study is the result of a collaboration between Monash University and Melbourne University led by Dr. Scarlett Howard. Monash University Research Fellow and Head of the University's Integrative Cognition, Ecology, and Biology Inspiration Research Group. Dr. Howard said bees' strong information processing skills make them ideal research subjects to study animals with miniature brains. So, as always, it's a full article there. It's kind of neat. I feel bad saying this. I think it's really cool. I think it's neat. It's a nice little kind of novel exercise. I have this vision of a person, and I see these guys, like these guys who were out working really hard the other day. I went for a walk in my neighborhood, and there's like these six guys, and there's a backhoe out there, and one of the guys is like 5 feet in the ground digging a hole, and they're checking out utilities. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, those guys are like breaking their backs, working really hard, and they're paying taxes, and then the tax dollars are going to figure out whether or not bees can do math or whatever. I don't know. I think, again, it's neat and it's cool, and I'm sure there's other donors and things that are, I just always see things like this and think, what drove this? Who was hanging out? And they're like, man, we got like $500,000 we got to spend. What can you come up with? And go, I don't know, man. Maybe we can see if bees can do math. How much do you think we can get about $100,000 for that? Yeah, let's go with that. Let's do that one. So anyway, I think it's neat. I think it's, again, the scientific aspect of it is very cool. And I get geeked out about things that are fun like that. But I'm like, man, who's paying for that? Okay, anyway, number five, last on the list. This is the one that's kind of a little bit lighthearted. And as I read it, I'm going to read most of this one. The title of this is Bee Movie Lied to You. Now, what's going on here, right? It's meant to be a joke. It's not meant to be truly seriously picking on the movie, you know, the Bee Movie. And this is the one, if you don't remember, it's Jerry Seinfeld is the voice. But I'll read through the article. Just remember, she's joking around and having fun. I don't get bent out of shape or anything. In a largely futile effort to avoid watching the news, which seems to just get more and more depressing, I decided to channel surf until I found something less likely to compel me to bang my head on the wall. Oh, wait, I didn't channel surf. Like so many others, our household has switched to streaming, which means the simple joy of flipping channels has become an annoying challenge. Pick the platform, pick the category you want to browse, click on something, and find out your own membership doesn't cover it. Pick something else. Anyway, I finally landed on Bee Movie with Jerry Seinfeld voicing the lead character. It's an oldie, but somehow I've never seen it. And it seemed like the perfect time. A movie about bees. With Jerry Seinfeld? I was sure I had found exactly the tonic I needed to improve my state of mind. No such luck. Seinfeld's character is Barry B. Benson, a worker bee frustrated by the boring, unrewarding life he leads in the hive. Note I said he. That was my first clue that this movie was going to deepen my ennui rather than cure it. Worker bees are not male, they are all female. Adding insult to error, Barry's frustration comes from discovering that once he chooses a job, that will be his job for life. In truth, worker bees change their jobs every few days, moving up from cleaning crew to forager over their lifespan. In an act of rebellion, Barry decides to abandon honeybee making and instead venture out with the pollen jocks, also male, but larger, stronger, and clearly more macho than their hive-bound cohorts. Hilarity ensues, or so I assume. I was too annoyed by the wrongness of the whole thing to continue watching, so I have no idea what happened after that. But this disappointing experience seemed a good opportunity to talk about drones or male bees and what they actually do. So this goes into the whole discussion around talking about how drone bees mate once and then they die and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I thought that it was kind of funny. I'm hoping that she really didn't get bent out of shape and wasn't upset about it. I don't know for sure. But anyway, I just wanted to get a quick in the news segment out. We hadn't done one in a while, and I was trying to find something fun and lighthearted to kind of go into the weekend here. But you guys take care. Have a great week. Oh, wait. Before I close on you, hold on 1 second. So we have some things coming up that I wanted to make sure I mentioned to you. We have, these are not finalized yet, but we're going to basically be getting these out here in the next couple of weeks. So we've got, we're going to talk about choosing like the race of bees, what race of bees might be the best for you. A lot of this is going to be dependent on what's available, right? So if there is a apiary or someone near you selling honeybees, they're probably using bees that they know can survive and do well in that area. So buying what's local to you and talking about that, getting your gear ready, right? Dusting things off, getting everything ready for the spring, a few do's and don'ts. We got a discussion around single versus double deep brood chambers, which one's better, worse, pros, cons. I got an episode here talking about over smoking honeybees, which is probably going to get blended in with something else because I'm not going to talk for a half hour about smoke. There's another one coming up here called the Beekeeping Triangle that I'll talk to you about. And people have asked several times around bee businesses and some, you know, what are some of the pitfalls, things to watch out for and pay attention to, or at least be cognizant of if you're thinking about starting any kind of a bee type business. So these are all immediately on the episode list. I also need to get back on the video. I have some of it done. I just need to finish up. I was looking for a nice day where I wasn't stuck indoors, but if I can get a nice day outside and get a couple more videos, just showing you a couple of different hive stand options. And this is part of that series of getting you ready for this season. I will go online and I'll do a screen record. I'll post that on YouTube. I'm so jammed up right now, but I will get a video up walking through like the ordering process and what I do. And, you know, it's no big deal. It's pretty straightforward, but we'll get that ordering done. We'll have the placement done. We'll talk about your gear and we're going to try to get you all the way through things. We're going to do some frame assembly videos on putting frames together, putting your foundation in, how everything looks, mock inspections. We're going to do the best we can to run through all of this leading up to April 1st and, you know, the official kind of kickoff of the spring season and the release of the Master Beekeeper Apprentice course and all these other great things. All right, folks, take care. Have a great weekend. Be kind to one another. And remember that I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.